we come together in this time of worship, we are going to be looking at Luke's gospel today. So if you have your Bibles with you, I would encourage you to open them up to Luke 24. And we're going to be in verse 44 this morning. And then after I read Luke's gospel, I'm actually going to switch over to Luke's sequel, which is the book of Acts. So you might just have that prepared as well. We'll be in the opening chapter of Acts in just a moment, too. Emerson, my three-year-old, if you've seen her, one of her favorite things to do, much to my dismay, is to watch television. And one of her favorite shows that she is watching right now is Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, which is essentially the cartoon version of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And in that show, there is this episode where the parents leave, and Daniel is left with a babysitter. And Daniel gets very worried that his parents are leaving. And if you've ever watched this show, they sing these cutesy little songs. And one of those songs is called Grown Ups Come Back. And so anytime I leave to come to church, or when Aaron leaves to go to the grocery store, or wherever we're going, she'll always say, "But you're going to come back, right?" And then she'll sing the little song. This is, I think, true for many of us, not just children. We want assurance that we're not going to be left alone. We want assurance that we won't be abandoned, that those we love will eventually come back to us, that we will see those we love once more. But there's always that time of waiting, the time of not having what we want, the time where we don't know what's coming next. And the disciples are very much in that moment this morning. You see, they've just watched the crucifixion and death of their teacher, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And they didn't know what was happening, and so they waited. And then Jesus resurrected, right? And so they got these moments of fear and joy and anxiety and not really knowing what was about to happen, but Jesus was back. And then Jesus leaves again. So let's hear now from Luke these words of the ascension of Jesus. It says, "Then he," meaning Jesus, "said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that the repentance and the forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in the name of all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are to be my witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what the Father has promised. So stay here. Stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high.' Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them, and he was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As the disciples gather with Jesus, Jesus tells them, "Hey guys, these are the words that I have spoken to you, the words from long ago, from Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. All of this that has been taught for years is now coming to fruition." And then it says the disciples' minds were opened and they were able to understand. Even up until this point, they still did not have a full understanding. Even after the death of Jesus, even after the resurrection, even after Jesus walking among them for this whole season, they still didn't fully understand. But it says, then their minds were opened and they started to understand. And Jesus says, "Now that you get it, go out and I need you to be my witnesses." And then he was taken up, and he was gone. And the final words here is that they returned and they worshiped. They worshiped while they waited. Because there was a promise in that, a promise that we talked about last week, right? Where Jesus told them, I'm going to send an advocate to be with you. I will never leave you alone. But there's this break between the ascension of Jesus and between Pentecost, which is the sending of the Spirit, where they had to wait and try to figure out what is it that we are called to do and who are we called to be in the midst of this time. What I find interesting, though, about Luke, Luke wrote a sequel, if you didn't know. Now, the way your Bible is, whoever set up the biblical canon, the way it's laid out, his sequel doesn't come right after his book, right? It goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. And then we get to Acts, which is Luke's sequel. And they did that because they put the synoptic gospels together, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But if we skip over John and we go to Acts, we hear Luke's second text. And I want to read this version of the ascension for you because Luke gives us a little bit different details here, and I think these are important. First, he goes on and he kind of explains how he wrote Luke, and now he's writing this. And so he says, in the first book, I wrote all about the things Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. So he gives us this background about what his book was all about. He says, after his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during the 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. And then he retells the story of the ascension. He says, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the time or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you are going to receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood among them. And they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go. So we come to this place in Acts, and we hear the story again, but it's a little bit different. And so I want you to imagine for a moment being the disciples in this place. And over and over and over again, they have these sudden changes that happen to them. Their lives are turned on their head over and over and over again. If you go back to the beginning of Holy Week, right, they have this triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem, and then Jesus is arrested. And then they, if you go back to Holy Thursday, they're having this final meal, right, with Jesus, the Passover, and then suddenly he's beaten and stripped and hung on a cross. Then they watch him die, and he's buried in a tomb. And then suddenly, 3 days later, he's risen again. And then they get him back for 40 days. He teaches them, he walks among them, he eats fish with them on the beach, right? And then he's taken up into the clouds with no warning. It all happens so fast. And then we come to this place at the end of the ascension story. And it says they're standing there and they're gazing up, and Jesus has just been taken up into the clouds, and they're gazing up, and all of a sudden these two angels appear, right? And they say, why are you standing there looking up toward heaven? Get going. Get to work. The same way Jesus left, he's going to come back. But you have work to do. And so it says, then they returned to Jerusalem. And when they entered the city, they went to a room upstairs where they had been meeting. And they devoted themselves in prayer together. They waited by worshiping God. They waited for the coming of the Spirit. They waited to receive the power by coming together in the temple and praying and worshiping together. This kind of feels like a weird text to be reading right now, because we're not gathered in a physical temple praying and worshiping together. But one of the things that I've realized over the past, I don't know, how long have we been here? 10 weeks? Something like that online? Is that there is something beautiful about virtual worship, about being scattered and coming together, even if it's on a screen, and praising and worshiping God. We have this wonderful and beautiful ability to continue to be the church even when we can't come to the church building. Friends, we are in a time of waiting. We are waiting on Pentecost. We're waiting for the Spirit to come to give us power so that we can come together and do this work that God has called us to do. But it doesn't mean that we wait and do nothing. There is still work to be done in the midst of the waiting. There is still praising and worshiping and leading and serving that can happen while we continue to be in this season of unknown. Friends, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what is coming or when it's happening. But we do have this ascension and we have the promise of Pentecost. Jesus tells them directly. He gives them Luke's version of the Great Commission, right? The Great Commission we often hear from Matthew, but we get Luke's version here. He says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. We have this promise that we're waiting on. And he says, you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to tell my story through not just your words, but also your actions. You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Friends, we can't minimize this statement. This is a big and tall order that we've been given. You know, I find it interesting that in Acts, the Luke's sequel version of this story, they've all done all of this with Jesus. You know, Jesus has been teaching them for the past 3 years, and then Jesus dies, he's crucified, he's buried, he rises on Easter, and he teaches them and walks among them for another 40 days. And right before he's about to end, before he's about to leave, they say to him, Lord, is it now time? Is this now the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? Even though we just heard in the gospel version that their minds were open to understand the scriptures, they still don't quite get it. They're still ready for Israel to be completely restored. And Jesus says, you know what, guys? We don't know when this is going to happen. No man knows when it's going to happen, the time or the hour. But you still have work to do. And I think this is our call this morning. Friends, there's a lot of unknown right now. There's a lot of things that we can't see coming. There's a lot of worry and anxiety. And sometimes we're ready to just get to the end of the story. But Jesus says, you have to wait, but keep praising while you do. So as we wait together this morning, that is our call. To keep praising, to keep worshiping, to keep loving, and to keep sharing. Each week we have a kind of an action step. We've done a worry stone, and we've dropped it in water, and we've you know, buried our anxieties and our fears. This week, I just want you to do something simple. I want you to take your hands and I want you to lift them up towards the heavens. And remember that Jesus went and Jesus is working from home right now, right? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And then reach your hands into your heart. And remember that the Holy Spirit is moving and living and breathing inside of you. And then reach your hands out into the world, knowing that that is where you are called to go and who you are called to love and to serve. Remember, in this season, life prevails, hope is found, and love always wins. Let's pray. Holy God, I give you thanks for this time as we gather together with one another and we celebrate the ascension. God, knowing that you went ahead of us, that you prepare a place for us, and God, that you have dominion over all things. That God, in the midst of our worry and our struggle and our fear, God, we know that you are ruler of all. And God, even though you told us to wait, you didn't tell us to stand still. You told us that we are called to be your witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That we are called to be your witnesses in Plattsburgh and Missouri and in this nation and across the world. That we are called to show others what it means to love you and to love our neighbor. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.